Good morning, everyone.
Good morning,
Richard.
Good
morning, Richard. To all that are listening in. Good morning. Good morning. Let's go to God in prayer and thanking the Lord for a brand new day of a brand new week.
Amen.
All that He's done for us and all
yes.
He's doing for us today. Oh, gracious and mighty Father, we are so blessed that we are allowed by You to come to You in the name of Jesus, to thank You, to praise You, to honor You with our whole hearts. Father, we just ask that You would please wash us with the blood of Jesus and allow Your Holy Spirit to have its way in us today. Forgive us, Father, for the things that we have done of omission and commission, the things that we may have thought, things we may have acted upon, Lord, thinking we were right but we were wrong. Please forgive us and cleanse us today and allow Your Holy Spirit to have its way in all that will take place today with the service and in our lives. Lord, blessed be Your name, for You are truly loving and merciful and kind. You truly have given us all that we need and so much more. You've given us life and You've given it to us abundantly. Yet, Lord, we get bogged down in the miry clay of life. And we ask, Father, that You would just give us the strength today, Father, to receive what You have for us to receive. Let not us be blocked by our flesh or the desires of our own hearts or the things that are happening in our lives. Let Your word flow into our souls today. Reign in us, Father. Reign on us, Holy Spirit, and reign in us, Holy Spirit, that Your will be done and that, Lord, we will be pleasing to You. For life is all about You, and we thank You for that, Father. We ask that You bless this speaker, Jeanette, Lord, that as she bring forth Your word, bless and anoint her today, Father. Quiet whatever raging thought may be in her mind, Lord, and let Your spirit speak through her. Let Your anointing be fresh and anew in her soul today, Father. She brings forth Your word, which is Your truth. And we know, Father, that Your word is true and will never fail. And then, Lord, I pray that You bless Alexandra. She brings forth the reading of Your word. Let her be anointed by the reading of Your word, Lord, today, Father. And then all that will hear, give us ears to truly hear and a heart to receive and a mind to stay meditated on what we hear. Let not our adversary rob us of what we hear today. But let our hearts and our souls be connected to You, Lord, and being a doer of Your word today. We thank You, Father. Block all chaos and confusion. Block anything that would be a distraction from not allowing Your word to come forth. Lord, we ask this in the name of Jesus because, Father, we need You. We need You, Father, in every second of the day. We need You. So, Lord, prepare this service, Lord, that it will be a blessing to You and an anointing for us. We thank You, Father. We thank You. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Something came to mind while Richard was praying.
Mm.
How much of the message, whether it's in a church, whether it's, you know, and I'm going to say messages that, you know, really seem to speak to your heart at the time, do you remember? Anybody?
That really speak to your heart? I'm going to say...
Yeah, something that spoke to your heart, you know, when you heard it. But, you know, by Thursday, if someone said, what was the message about, would you be able to answer? How many times would that be a truth that you could say, oh, I got this, I got that, I got that, I got this? How many times?
Right.
What would you say is the percentage? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say for me maybe about 60%. Yeah. 6 out of 10 times, maybe 7. It's never been 10-10 for me because I, once I think I know, it's like, yeah, okay, that affirmed that. All right, next. I'm a purger. Like, once it's affirmed, it's in my spirit and I know it. but someone else may be different. I'm about 70%.
I would say for me, it. Go ahead, Tammy, and I'll come after you.
I was just going to say, I think for me, it's like I'll remember some key elements of it, but maybe not the whole thing, but be like, oh, what was that again? What was that? And that's why when I take notes, then I can go back and grab that scripture or, you know, but if you are asking for a specific percent, I would say like 60%, but I would say it's not that I don't remember anything, but it's more parts of it.
Mm-hmm. Which makes sense.
I would say 40-60. I would say for me it would be 40-60. 40% of the time I will remember. 60% of the time I don't. But then that 60% that I don't, it'll come back to me later on, certain things about it. Certain things that we've talked about that will ring a bell and begin to resonate with what was talked about at some other time. So, but initially, I would say 40-60.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to say I wouldn't even say, sometimes I can't even remember what it was about, and if I do remember, and I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about great messages that I've sat through.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask me on Thursday what Sunday was about, you know, if it was a running story like a King David series or something, then
right,
I might do
right.
a little bit better.
Yeah.
But if it was just random scriptures like it usually is in most churches, I'm going to be hard-pressed to remember it.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to encourage all of you that that's what he's talking about when he says that he'll bring back to your remembrance what he has said to you. When the Holy Spirit is delivering the message, just understand it's being planted in you.
Yes, amen.
So if you can't even remember it on Monday, I used to say, gee, well, you walk out of church, you don't remember. And sometimes it was nothing but gibberish in the first place. But I just got, as Richard was praying this morning, I got, it just hit me. He brings it back to your remembrance as you need it.
Praise God.
So something planted in you 3 years ago or 10 years ago can come out of your mouth or you can be reminded of, and you don't even remember where you got it. Because it's all being planted. So if you don't remember which seeds went in the ground on Sunday, don't ever believe that you didn't receive the benefit. That's why he says faith comes by hearing. Well, if I have to remember everything I heard, then, you know, that's a problem. But because this is supernatural, and just your hearing it means that it's gone inside of you. It's planted within you. So when you need it, it will be there. So again, you know, forsake not fellowship, because everything that's being planted has a purpose.
Yes.
Just because you can't remember what seeds went in on 3 Sundays ago doesn't mean you didn't benefit. I believe that's another trick of the enemy going on right now, is that people will say, well, I don't even remember the half of it. Who was Joseph or what happened to Sarah? Sarah, was it Sarah? I don't know. But they heard this in their youth, and they think that it really, they can't even remember it, so how much benefit does it have? If the Holy Spirit were to be ignited in them, all of the things that have been planted would begin to flourish. So I just want you to don't beat yourself up if somebody says, yeah, well, what did you get out of Sunday on Friday, and you can't even remember what Sunday was about.
Amen.
That's a trick.
And you know
just
what
know
also
that
I believe?
Pardon me?
Uh-huh. I just wanted to interject. Delivery has a lot to do with it, I think, as well, in conjunction with working with the Holy Spirit. And I think that's why you are so adamant about us and how we deliver our message as well.
Delivery has a lot to do with it, because if the adversary can cause your mind to wander,
mm-hmm.
during the delivery, it's no longer entering because you're not hearing it.
Right.
If you tune somebody out because of whatever reason, it's like, oh, here we go again, and you tune it out. If you're tuning it out, you're not receiving it. So you're absolutely correct, Alexandra. Delivery has a lot to do with it. And the only thing that gets in the way of the delivery is our flesh.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is perfect in all his ways.
Amen.
It's our flesh. Sometimes our flesh is reaching for other things in the flesh, like personal needs to be met, and you forget, is this for everyone or is this for me?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever is the issue. Some people, I've listened to pastors that they joke way too much. They joke so much that all you remember is the joke.
Right.
And you're busy laughing and laughing and laughing. And, all you can think of is how funny that was. You're not even thinking of what's coming out their mouth next because you got hung up on jokes. So, yes, delivery is everything. Not everything, but delivery is important.
Right.
Have you ever listened to somebody that as soon as they open their mouth, your mind wanders?
Yeah.
I certainly have.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, that it's your calling. All of us are called to minister, but not all of us are called to be a teacher. A teacher has to have the supernatural ability to hold your attention for more than 3 minutes. Because it's actually, they're saying now that because of videos and technology, kids and people's attention span is down to 10, seriously.
Shorter, yes.
At 10 minutes, and they're saying that now professors giving lectures in universities across the nation are giving kids breaks every 15 minutes because they can't concentrate any longer than that. So they're missing, over half the lecture if they don't get reset button. But the Holy Spirit, he works different. He has the power to hold the attention if it's him doing the talking.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're so gifted in teaching that you're just a natural at interesting, where people can't help but listen. I thought of somebody who was teaching recently, relatively recently, and they have a pitch in their voice that made the whole congregation or lots of the congregation say, I can't listen to this.
Wow.
Do you think God would give you a squeaky, irritating voice if your calling was to pastor and teach?
No.
He would not do that.
Wow.
But this person, because of the situation that they were going through with their husband who was a pastor, then they decided, because of the situation, they're going to pastor together. But she obviously wasn't called to pastor because people are leaving left and right. And I can't tell you how many people came and made the comment, it's the voice.
Wow.
It's just squeaky and hard to hear and make it stop. Wow, that's a lot. I don't think the Holy Spirit makes mistakes when he's calling you.
Amen.
If he was calling and you had a squeaky voice or some kind of way, that wouldn't matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
The edge would be taken off of the squeak. So people aren't hearing that anymore. All right, we're going to get into the lesson, which is going to be the Gospel of St. John, starting at chapter 1.
Oh, I thought we were starting at chapter 7, verse 1, no?
That's where we are, chapter 7,
okay.
Verse 1, sorry.
Okay, no, that's okay. Shall I begin?
Yes, please.
Okie dokie. After this, Jesus went around in Galilee. He did not want to go about in Judea because the Jewish leaders there were looking for a way to kill him. But when the Jewish festival of tabernacles were near, Jesus' brothers said to him, "Leave Galilee and go to Judea, so that your disciples there may see the works you do." No one who wants
right
to
here.
Become...
Let's stop right there, just so that we are clear on what's really going on here. Jesus' brothers were not urging him to go to Judea out of so that people will see your works and what you are doing.
Mm.
They were telling Jesus that's the reason, but they were not behind Jesus at this time. So really, they were just trying to set him up because at this point, they believed that Jesus needed to be bear acted.
Wow.
Let's get him declared as crazy, and we'll take it from here.
Hmm.
But Jesus, of course, has discernment, and he knows better. Go ahead.
No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you're doing these things, show yourself to the world. For even his brothers did not believe in him. Therefore,
stop right there
Jesus...
again. Stop right there again. You hear their intent. Anyone who wants to be a public figure. What are you hearing in that?
Mm-hmm. Doubt.
Definitely doubt. What else?
They don't believe it. Like
lack of trust. Or?
Like he just
doubt and unbelief.
I think he's just doing it. They feel like Jesus is just trying to make himself important. And so, and they don't believe in him, what he's really doing. So if you really want to be all of what you're proclaiming you are, why don't you just go be a public figure speaker so people can find out that you really are what you're talking about you are.
I think they're trying to provoke his pride. And God, he's not prideful. Daddy's not prideful.
Do you hear any resentment in that?
Yeah, I could kind of sense that. Yeah.
I think there's a seed of resentment there, which would make sense because when God calls you out and apart, often that will cause problems starting with your family.
Ooh-wee. Ouch, right there. Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're being called out but you don't come, then all is well.
Right.
Then as long as you remain cool with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are being called out and you're going another path and you're living a different life, and see, it was probably intolerable enough as Jesus as a child who wouldn't go along with anything, sin not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mr. Goody-Goody Two-Shoes, we get it. But now he's got miracles, signs, and wonders following him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that just took it to another level for his brothers, his family, and they just had enough. So if Jesus knew that they were trying to kill him,
mm-hmm.
don't you think the brothers knew too?
Yes.
I don't think it was a secret that they were trying to kill Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how they were going to go about it and crucify him on a cross, I don't know if they had figured that all out, much less that he was going to be risen from the dead,
right?
Conquer sin and death. No, they didn't understand that. But they understood that the tension was rising. And yet they're encouraging him, no, go. Go on, go. Why? Hey, you're all that you say you are. What's the problem? You're supposed to be a public, you're trying to become famous.
It sounds like they didn't believe in him.
Well, it's right. They didn't believe in him.
Yeah, so since they didn't believe in him, that was the underlying motivation reason is
mm-hmm.
we don't believe you. So if you don't, we don't really believe you, then let's go prove yourself. So,
right.
Because we really don't know about what you're saying.
And usually like that comes often. Surely they didn't believe him, but they didn't want to.
Right, right. That's right.
They had seen miracle signs and wonders, but they didn't want to believe him. Because a lot mm-hmm. of times when you see certain things come to the surface, remember, that's not what the root is.
Right.
That's just what's coming to the surface.
Preach.
The surface is I don't believe. Well, no, I don't believe. I don't even believe that person, this or that. And why mm-hmm. don't you believe it is the next question. Why don't you believe? You saw miracle signs and wonders. Why don't you believe? Because you don't want to. Why don't you want to?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that these things, you see it and still don't believe it? Why?
Right.
Because something deeper than that is the root cause of it. Might be personal feelings you have towards that person that you don't want to get over or don't, so there you are. But those of you who have been called out singly in your families, understand and remember always that this is not rare. Persecution by people that are closest to you is all too common.
Mm.
Because you've stepped into another arena, and in that arena, your light penetrating darkness.
Yes.
And the people are not ready to be penetrated yet.
Mm.
So all of a sudden, here you are, bringing something completely different that is contrary to everything in the way that they have already been living. And everybody else lives the same way, so what is the problem? Oh, the problem is the person that's standing against it. And that's just the physical side of it. Don't forget spiritually, who wants Jesus in the house if you want to do all kinds of mayhem and things you ought not be doing? Who invited Jesus to the party?
Right.
Mm. Well, I might as well just go home. This is not going to be fun.
Mm.
They're here. The Spirit of God just entered the door. Well, let me go drink someplace else.
Mm.
Let me go smoke somewhere else. Let me tell my dirty jokes somewhere else. Let me go use my potty mouth somewhere else because this is just doesn't even feel comfortable. And that's how it is.
Mm.
Now, what on the reverse of that, what should happen when a child of God enters into a place like that?
And you recognize it? Yeah.
The very same thing you just said. Should dispel all of that.
Mm-hmm, pray. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Should dispel all of those things because of your presence merely being in that room.
Right. And if it doesn't
now,
work,
how does
walk
that
out.
Look? So we talk about dispelling it. What does that look like?
If a person is telling a coarse joke and you walk into the room, they immediately say, oh, let's... Jeanette's here. Let's see. You know, she doesn't want to hear that, so let's talk about something else.
That's if they care. That's if they care.
Yeah,
you know?
Most of the time they don't make room for you.
Exactly.
And if they do, it's to embarrass you or to make you feel more
comfortable. That is so true right there.
Oh, Jeanette's here. She doesn't want to
mm-hmm.
hear it, and it's a room full of other people. That person's
mm-hmm.
just really trying to make you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
They're not trying to honor you. That is
by no means.
Mm-hmm. What it makes me think of is the fact is that when that does happen, you got to remember that it's not you, even though it is you, it's never really the spirit of you that they're warning against. Not you specifically, even though it feels that way.
It's an attack. And that attack is on all that you represent that's within you. Are you guys there?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I had to make an adjustment with the phone. Okay. So Jesus is not exempt, so you're not exempt. I witnessed a very vicious family attack recently. I won't go into names or details, but I would call the attack was pretty vicious. It just, like cats that came out clawing away. But I knew when I was witnessing what it really was about. Something had really PO'd the unclean spirits within the people that were there at the time. And they just came out of nowhere, scratching and clawing.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus' brothers are encouraging him to go into an environment that they know isn't even safe. And it's more of a taunting. Well, hey, if you're who you say you are, what's the problem? And then
right.
Verse 6, Alexandra, go from there.
Therefore, Jesus told them, my time is not yet here. For you, any time will do. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that its works are evil. You go to the festival. I am not going up to this festival because my time has not yet fully come. After he had said this, he stayed in Galilee. However, after his brothers had left for the festival, he went also, not publicly, but in secret. Now at the festival, the Jewish leaders...
Stop right there. So
sure.
He said he wasn't going, right?
Right, but he did.
He says, you guys go on to the feast. I'm not going up to the feast. My time has not fully come.
Mm-hmm.
So he says this to them, and they go on to the feast, and he remains in Galilee. But then it turns around and says, but after that, he went to the festival, not openly, but in secret. What happened
right.
there? Did Jesus lie?
No, because he told us, I'm not going yet. He says, I'm
right.
not going yet. That means he wasn't going
right.
with them right now. But that
mm-hmm.
didn't mean he was not going to be going at all.
Right.
My interpretation
exactly.
is very clear. It's that in my interpretation, which could be a misinterpretation, says, you go up to the feast. I am not yet going up to the feast, for my
I
time
not
is not
yet.
Going to come. I am not
right.
yet going up to the feast.
Yes, right there, yep.
But doesn't that give the impression that he's not going to the feast?
Not really, in my opinion.
Not yet.
He's not going right now. He's not going right now. He says, I'm not yet going because my time hasn't come. He made it clear,
mm-hmm.
my time hasn't come, so I'm not yet going with you.
So, yes. But we recognize that because we're good listeners of the Word of God.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that that's been said before, that verse, and been misinterpreted. I see what Miss Jeanette is asking.
I almost wonder... Because it's just the way that it very strongly hits me. And it could be just as Richard and you're saying, and I'm not going with you now. But I
yeah.
wonder if when Jesus answered them, that was his answer. I'm not going to the feast. Have you ever made up your mind you're going somewhere or not going somewhere, and then no sooner did 20 minutes pass, all of a sudden you feel the led to go do so? It's happened to me where
yeah.
I say, oh, I'm not going to do this or that. I'm not going to go. And then the next thing you know, I'm up and getting dressed and I went.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's something here, I wouldn't be surprised if he was not immediate or shortly thereafter they left. He was led go to the tabernacle. I mean, go to the Feast of Tabernacles, but don't go openly. I believe Jesus was constantly being led by the Spirit, but in my life, and I would think maybe you've all had the same experiences, the Holy Spirit can change like the wind on you.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
You can say, I'm not going to do this, and before you know it, you're doing it, or you can say, I'm going to do this, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, sit down, you're not.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to this party. I told everybody I'd be there. And then the Lord says, nope, you're not going. Mm-hmm. And at the last minute, you're not going. Are you a liar? No. The Holy Spirit has changed your mind, and you're going to follow that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes to the tabernacle of the feast, but he goes not openly, secretly. Mm-hmm. How do you think he can manage to walk around that many people and nobody know it's Jesus?
Because he's God.
Walked in the Spirit.
Walking in the Spirit. And not necessarily in the Spirit as a spirit.
Right.
But what God can do is make you invisible.
Amen.
In the middle of a crowd.
Yep.
He can make you invisible if you're the only one sitting in a room.
Mm-hmm.
He can make you invisible. And it says he didn't go openly. Keep going.
Go to the vessel. I'm not going. Okay, 10. However, after his, verse 10, I'm sorry. However, after his brothers had left for the festival, he went also, not publicly, but in secret. Now at the festival, the Jewish leaders were watching for Jesus and asking, where is he? Among the crowds, there was widespread whispering about him. Some said, he is a good man. Others replied, no, he deceives the people. But no one would say anything publicly about him for fear of the leaders. Would you like to interject anything?
Just how easily we're intimidated.
Mm-hmm.
There were people there that had become quite strong believers, but they weren't willing to say anything openly,
right,
or publicly because of the wrath. And they didn't want to be on the wrong side of the Jewish leaders. I want to make sure that we have a very clear understanding of the Jewish leaders. Who did the Jewish leaders work for? Anybody. Who did the Jewish leaders work for?
For the people, no?
They appeared to work for the people, but they really worked for Rome. Rome is the one that set them in these positions of authority. So Rome sets up these the Jewish leaders to be leaders, but their main purpose
control people
is to keep insurrections from happening. So when you're afraid of the Jewish leaders, you're also afraid of the wrath of Rome. And the Jewish leaders greatly feared Rome because Rome would quickly take, I mean quickly, take their position from them. If there's an insurrection, guess who they're coming after?
Yeah.
Jewish leaders.
The Jewish leader in that area was supposed to keep this stuff under wraps. And if there's something going on among the Jews, some kind of an uprising being planned, the Jewish leaders are supposed to report it to Rome. And diffuse it. Rome could come in quite brutally on the Jews if necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But they'd rather not. Just like any other conqueror, if you're conquering, if you're Russia and you're trying to conquer Ukraine, it wasn't your plan to have to kill all the people.
Right.
Your plan was a little bit of strong arming, and then I take over, and now you guys work for us.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a big benefit of ruling corpses and tearing up infrastructure. And that was not Rome's way. They would go in and conquer regions, but only as far as it took to subdue the region. And as they had done in Palestine or Jerusalem or Israel, all the same, synonymous, as they had done in that region, they just want the people to behave themselves and pay tribute to Rome.
Right.
So Rome will have the money to conquer more people. And if you weren't in religious rebellion, it wasn't a terrible, terrible life. It was like America. Pay your taxes, you're not going to have any trouble out of us.
Right.
don't pay your taxes. This can get ugly. And work so you can pay taxes. Well, Rome was very, very similar in its structure. They're building roads that lead to all parts of the world. They're doing, you know, everything they do costs money. And so the lands that they conquer and become head over have to help support that. Now let's just do this quietly. But the Jews had a big problem with it, and they were constantly having uprisings because of their religious beliefs. We're not going to call Caesar God. We're not. And we were not meant to be under anybody but God. And we had our own king. So they're constantly having this problem. So the Jewish leaders are setting out. They want to get rid of him. What's the other reason they wanted to get rid of Jesus?
Because they were afraid that people would begin to worship Jesus and not them.
And to be exposed. They don't want to be exposed. I think.
And Jesus was exposing them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And what's always the root, almost always, of most problems that can lead to death?
Greed.
Well, take away their livelihood.
Money.
Yep, greed.
The religious leaders are not just paid to do what they do, but they put all these different things in place, and they get a cut of this stuff. Yeah, we get a cut of everything going on in the, you know, the temple. We get a cut of all these tributes made year after year after year. So they live kind of fat.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is coming around now throwing over change tables. What are you doing? You're calling us out as vipers, and we're Sadducees and Pharisees, which Rome has allowed us to keep our religion as long as these rulers, you know, are playing by. And how many times do we see our rulers are sold out?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not just talking about in the world where you find out that Jesse Jackson is bought off.
Right.
I'm talking about even in the church. How many times do we see our leaders are compromised? It's a good word. Are compromised.
Sad. That's true.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to urge you on this call, or that may listen to it later, be very careful not to let that happen to you in leadership.
Mm.
Where you know where you stand, you know how to stand, you're on the solid rock, you know your word, you know right from wrong, and somebody and the congregation maybe, or even the leadership in that congregation, they come and they want to urge you to take and agree with positions that are not in that are not godly.
Mm.
Well, you say, if I don't, let's say, for example, I'm going to deal with that issue that I don't touch often, but say it's homosexuality in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And say that they're getting ready to put this guy over the music because he's just absolutely outstanding. He's gifted beyond gifts. He would make a great music director. He comes with a following, which means a lot more people are going to come to the church because just to see and watch him perform.
Right.
But you know his lifestyle, and he ain't hiding it.
Mm. Mm.
So you say, well, and the church comes, they have a board meeting, and you're on the board, and you're, you know, part of the decision-making. And they say, yeah, well, hey, everybody, I just want to throw out there, we got this great guy, he's amazing, Mark Schapano from blah, 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 and he's, you know, mm-hmm. hey, just want to know, let you guys know, he's on board, he's coming on board. So we need to discuss his salary here.
Mm.
And everyone is, oh, wow, you got him, that's great. Oh, boy, I know you were working on that for a while. Cool, great. Mm-hmm. And you're sitting there saying, am I the only one at this table that knows that he's actively and
openly
practicing, you know, a sinful lifestyle?
Right.
Well, these are how the challenges come. And I'm urging you that God doesn't place you in an environment to be silent. So be prepared for what that looks like. Don't think that Nicodemus' life was ever the same after he came out of the closet and said, I believe in Jesus. His life was never the same. Mm-hmm. Don't think the centurion's life went on hunky-dory after he did what he did. So it comes at a cost. It comes at a price. Keep going.
Verse 14. Not until halfway through the festival did Jesus go up to the temple courts and began to teach. Oh. The Jews there. Wow. He just, yeah, you know. We went from secretly appearing to now teaching. The Jews there were amazed and asked, how did this man get such learning without having been taught? Jesus answered, my teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet not one of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me?
Ouch.
Yeah. That was so good. You are demon-possessed, the crowd answered. Who is trying to kill you? Jesus said to them, I did one miracle, and you are all amazed. Yet, because Moses gave you circumcision, you circumcise a boy on the Sabbath. Now, if a boy can be circumcised on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing a man's whole body on the Sabbath? Stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly. I know you have some interjection here.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So he's at the Feast of the Tabernacles, and everyone's saying, where is he? Where is he? Why didn't he come?
Right.
And he's walking around, apparently, among them.
Mm-hmm. So
and
awesome.
Then he just walks up and begins to speak, and suddenly it's revealed, it's him. Now, he calls them out again in front of people. Mm-hmm. The people, it's interesting to me that he says, why are you trying to kill me? And the people say, who's trying to kill you? And he says, you have a demon. I think that it's pretty fair to say that often we're not dealing with flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm.
And in Jesus' case, you know how badly Satan wanted to stomp out that seed. He didn't want Jesus to be born, tried to stop that, tried to stop, you know, have him dead by two, tried to annihilate the line of David, just couldn't, but he just couldn't. He was powerless. But it wasn't for lack of trying. When we are in ministry, don't underestimate what's coming up against you.
Amen.
And Jesus just called it out. This is demonic. what they're trying to do is demonic.
Mm.
And I just, Jesus didn't say you have a demon. The people accused Jesus of having a demon.
Mm.
Mm.
The people answered and said, you have a demon who's trying to kill you. So when Jesus called them out for trying to kill him, that's when they decided to attack his integrity as
wow.
being demon. Right.
Hmm.
Hmm. Has anybody accused you of that?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that has got to be one of the most egregious attacks a person can make.
Yeah.
Is to attack the very core of your integrity and what it stands on, your faith.
Yeah.
So they turn around and say to Jesus, you have a demon who's trying to kill you. Remember the Trump administration? How often that they would just come up with ways to discredit anybody who was exposing them.
Mm-hmm.
If someone said Trump just lied about the lamp, he would say they just lied about the lamp and the table.
Mm-hmm.
Watch the pattern of how the adversary works. He knows that lies can get into people's head. And a lot of times, the minute people say it, then you say, well, I thought Jesus was the Son of God and the Messiah, but other people said that he had a demon, so I really don't know now. Just that fast, when another idea is interjected, do people begin to wonder and say, well, I can't really say, because some people said he was lying, other people said he wasn't. Get the picture?
Yeah.
Very, very powerful tool if you are not grounded in what you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what can you do to counteract that kind of, because you're going to run into it because it's so prevalent now, never seen it so badly. But what can you do to counteract those kind of attacks on you? When somebody attacks your faith and your integrity and accuses you of being the opposite of what you are.
Stand on the word of God.
Amen. Yourself. Amen. Pray and cast.
Because the word of God pray will give remembrance of what to say when that time comes. So you don't try to stand on your knowledge, or stand on the word of God.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's if you have to say anything at all. Sometimes, and I've experienced this on many occasions, Father God will say, peace be still, and he will freeze your tongue to the top of your mouth, and he will handle things.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Oh, so often we do not have to say a thing. God mm-hmm. protects us.
I'm yeah. noticing that Jesus' response in this is he didn't even address it.
Amen.
He didn't come back and say, I'm not a demon. Honest.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't have to do that.
Amen.
I'm going to urge you and urge you again, when these attacks come, let the Lord go before you and do the defending.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Why do you think that Jesus waited until halfway through the festival to appear? I thought that was interesting.
Holy Spirit.
Halfway through the festival.
I think that God was working.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't appear a moment too soon or a moment too late. So mm-hmm. I think God was working. God was working in the crowd. God was mm-hmm. dispersing them a certain way. God was setting it up that when he took that stage, people were ready to hear him. It's funny because if he had just stormed in and took the stage and they hadn't finished their murmuring, or hadn't relaxed on their intent,
mm-hmm.
I think it was just God, God's timing. I think he knows when it's time to speak. He knows when it's too soon, and he knows when it's too late.
Amen.
I don't do this too. I'm going to give you a story. I was going through Texas, and I was speeding, and I made a very bad judgment call. The police officer told me to pull over, but I didn't. The long and the short of it is, the police officer ends up pulling over somebody else, but the whole time he's on the scene, he's saying, pull over your car, talking to me, and I just shook my head, no, I'm not pulling over. And I had my reasons, which was just plain stupid. But at the end of the day, I'm riding down the highway, I'm coming through Texas, near the Louisiana border, and my mind says, pull over now. So I pulled over, and we sat at a Burger King, put our feet up, and we waited for a little over an hour. I got back on the road when the Holy Spirit said, get back on the road now. So I got back on the road, and as I'm getting to the Louisiana border, there's, at least 40, 50 cars, police cars at the border. But they had taken down the barricades. They were standing on the side of the road now, just jawjacking. As I went past, they were looking for a red convertible, which would have been me. As I went past in the fast lane, they stopped. Some put their hands on their hips. They turned their head, and they watched me pass.
Look at God. Look at God.
Look at God. Because
look at God.
God had taken the edge off.
Yeah.
Now they had been at the border all this time waiting for me. But since I didn't come, now they're outside their cars. They're talking, the heck with it. Just maybe that was a example of what happened here with Jesus.
Mm.
They were planning on killing him. Let's get our hands on him at this Feast of the Tabernacle. But then while they were waiting and waiting, he didn't seem to show up. Then kind of the plan just died out.
Mm.
The motivation to get him today died out. And then the Lord says, come on stage, it's time to talk.
Hmm.
That's what that makes me think of.
Hallelujah.
One of those moments.
Hallelujah. That's so awesome.
We're going to close right there. At the final verse, he says, do not judge according to appearance. But if you're going, and this is Jeanette speaking, if you're going to judge, judge with righteous judgment. Try and not become a black and white Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are, it's going to be very hard for you to use righteous judgment. You're going to see things in your walk that may appear to be wrong, but there's a greater right in that wrong than the wrong.
Hmm.
Can anybody give me an example of that? In his word, an example of that.
A greater right is wrong?
How about when the maidservants, the midwives, chose to lie to Pharaoh?
Oh, yeah.
They lied
mm-hmm.
to the king. And they said, the Hebrew women have the babies so fast, by the time we get there, these boys are already born. And then what did God do? He honored them for that and blessed their households and their children. But it would appear that they're supposed to obey the Pharaoh. And definitely, thou shalt not lie. They disobeyed their master and they lied about it. But there was a greater good there, wasn't there? Sparing the lives mm-hmm. of these babies, right?
The same right. thing with the spies.
Yeah.
Same thing with the spies.
Mm-hmm.
With Rahab. So sometimes black and white Christians have a problem with that, and they just start standing on something rock solidly without looking and using any kind of wisdom
right.
in the situation. Here's another one. What about when Solomon said, bring the baby and cut the baby in half?
Oh, yeah.
Was Solomon really going to cut the baby in half?
No.
Don't know.
But he knew that the real mother will stand up.
Yep.
One lady says, go ahead, cut the baby in half. I guess that's what would be fair. But he knew the real mother would say, I want my baby to live. Let her have him.
Mm-hmm.
But what was Solomon doing? You could say he was bluffing, but it was not the truth.
Right. Okay.
But it was wisdom that caused him to maybe shade the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So just try not to be a black and white Christian. Look at the situation with discerning eyes and with wisdom. And it's very easy if you say, well, how can I find that answer? Ask yourself so simply, how do you think God views this? Well, that might not work for the black and white person because they can just stand on, well, you know, God says this or that, so that person's condemned. But I also like what else he says on judgment. He also says not to make judgment until all things are revealed. So understand that in your black and white judgment, sometimes you don't really understand the whole of the story. So it's better to reserve your judgment. But if you must, then use righteous judgment.
That was good.
Lord,
that was good.
To the reading of his word.
Amen.
Amen.
Zandra or Tammy, either of you, whoever chooses, please close us in prayer.
Prayer request.
Any prayer
request? Go for it, Tammy. Prayer request. No.
I just like just prayers over this move. And that I just continue to not be overwhelmed and just take things one step at a time. So, and that I make the right decisions, period. All the decisions that I have to make. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for the word, Lord. We ask you just to let it penetrate, Lord, in our hearts. Yes. And when it's time and we need it, Lord, that it comes to our remembrance, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. We ask you to help us just get deeper in our word, Lord, to spend more time in our word, Lord, so that it just saturates our souls and our spirits, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. We ask you just to cover us. There's so many things in this world that come at us, Lord, that try to detract us from the walk that we're on, Lord God. And I just ask your covering for all of us, Lord, protection, Lord Jesus. The things that have got in, Lord, just get them out right now in Jesus' name. Healing to bodies, Lord God, healing to spirits, healing to emotions, Lord, of ourselves and our family members, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Strengthen our faith, Lord God. Strengthen our trust in you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Give us a fresh anointing this day, Lord. Help us just to keep our eyes focused on you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I thank you for Jeanette and Richard and for Alexandra's faithfulness, Lord, and for all those who wanted to be on the call but were not, Lord, or who listened to it at the recording, Lord God. We ask you just to strengthen us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Tammy. That's beautiful.
Amen.
Thank you. Oh, hi, Tara.
Have a blessed day, everyone. Miss Jeanette, I'll call you in 5 minutes.
Alrighty.
Okay, bye.